Going to be discussing how to leave a church well. I'm sure you all looked at that and thought, gee, that's going to be an interesting topic. So hopefully Mark and I have some wisdom to share with you this morning. So let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together as a church family, Lord, and to look at a topic that sometimes we avoid. So Lord, be with Mark and I as we share some wisdom from Scripture and from some other gifted preachers to discuss this topic. We ask this all in your son's name. Amen. So hopefully when you came in, you picked up your membership covenant. If not, they're over there on the podium. So we're looking at kind of a review of what you all promised to do when you were covenanting. So we've all agreed that we will maintain harmonious relationships within my church. And those to remind you as you look through that is by acting in love towards other members, by refusing to gossip. That's even when you say you're going to pray for someone, but it's really just gossip. So be careful there. By following the leaders as they follow the Lord. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for the salvation and growth of people, by inviting the unchurched to attend, or people that are just away from church for a while, by warmly welcoming those who attend. I will serve the ministry of my church by demonstrating God's love to all people, by discovering and using my gifts and talents, by developing a servant's heart and lifestyle. And finally, I will support the purposes of my church by attending faithfully, by growing in Christ-likeness, which often happens here in Sunday school, by giving regularly as God blesses me, which this church has done remarkably well with. So those are the things that we promised to do. We're going to discuss a little later what that means, what the covenant means, what we've covenanted for. But what we're going to look at now real briefly, and this is audience participation here, because this will kind of open up for us some of the things that Mark will be sharing with us here later. There are many reasons that people leave a church. All of us most of us probably have left a church. Many of us have had friends that left churches. Many of us have welcomed people that left a church and came in. So we're familiar with this topic. But what we want to do right now, just to kind of give you some ideas, and this is where you participate, and then I'll write this down. Tell me some reasons that people, we're going to look at two things, just generally why people leave the church. And then if some of those things that you mentioned are biblical, then we'll put a little star next to them. And then Mark will unpack those things in his teaching. So just anybody, what are some of the reasons that people leave a church? Well, yes, Judy?
Don't like the music.
Should I go ahead and put a star there? Okay. What's another one? Like what? Colleen? Okay. Okay. And how does that play itself out, Dennis? Okay. Somebody else?
Hey, John, can you repeat that?
Sure. Don't like the music, death, doctrinal differences, change of leadership, hurt by someone. Judy's got another? Okay, that would definitely change your life. That's interesting, too, because how do you decide if you're coming from two different doctrinal differences. That can be interesting. Okay.
In our own church here has dealt with that when the denomination, which is really leadership and it really becomes doctrinal, but it's the denomination.
Of course, now you guys have missed the most obvious one, right? I thought for sure that would be the very first one. Anything else? That would certainly make you leave the church.
Yeah. Usually they leave the church before.
What else?
Dissatisfaction.
In what? We've got music.
Overall.
Okay.
People say they're, you know, quote, not being fed.
Right.
So that life change takes place within. There's a breakup in a marriage inside the church. They usually don't both end up staying there.
Okay. So for those that haven't heard me or them, hurt by someone, life changes, marriage or divorce, you move, excommunication, your reaction to discipleship or discipline, denominational would come along with doctrinal differences. Dissatisfaction, not being fed. I've heard this from a lot of people. You know, what does it mean to be fed? What's your responsibility there to find the food that God provides for you if it's not coming from the pastor or the staff? Kids don't like the church. That's one I've heard a lot. At this church alone, we've lost a lot of people who say, well, you know, the worship isn't really good for the kids. You know, they're not paying attention, so we're going to have a place where it's exciting and there's lots of music, both elementary age and high school.
Yeah, we should think about Muppets.
Yes. They have a lot to add. Michael.
Kind of generally unmet expectations.
Okay. Unmet expectations. Like what, Michael?
I'll let you decide. What's it generally?
Generally.
Mission. Meaning you're called to go plant a church.
Okay. Okay.
Or maybe you literally enter a foreign mission field.
Okay, I think we've, Mark, I think we've covered most of them, you think?
No.
One more.
Financial or fiscal irresponsibility.
Okay.
So if you see the leadership, like you said, it falls in some of the other categories, but you see the church and its leadership and the tithe that you give being wasted on things that it shouldn't, and starts wondering whether that's wasted.
Said that the church changes its doctrinal difference, but it might be that you change yours.
Yeah, you learn to read the Bible.
Or God and I have a good relationship. I don't really need to go to an organized church. God and I commune. You know, I walk in the woods. That's always an interesting one when you hear that. And that could be that you change. So now, thinking caps on here, we're going to star some of those that you think are biblical from what you understand.
John, can I add one more?
Sure.
And that is, you just brought it up, and that is, a lot today, people see the church is fallen, the fallen human being, and they don't, there's an expectation somehow the church is not supposed to have corruption or problems, so they go into the house church, or they just have a personal relationship with God, because they can't accept there's fallen people inside a church.
Of course, that's the only reason for a church, isn't it, Rick?
Yeah,
what did Jesus say? I came for all the really... Jesus said, I come for the really righteous ones. I only want the ones who are perfect at all times. No, that's not right at all. So, from what you, and we're going to help you, Mark's going to help you with this as well. Which of these do you think, just from your understanding of the Bible, would be biblical reasons to leave a church? Rick?
The doctrinal differences.
Okay. So that would be like the Bible's mostly true?
Mostly true, whatever I pick and choose this morning.
The 10 suggestions? What else that you think of would be a biblical reason to leave? I think Steve gave us a couple here. If you were going to go plant a church, especially if you had the blessing of your current congregation, or if you were going into the mission field. What else? Gordon? Okay. What's your responsibility on the other end, though? Right. So sometimes you move, and we just haven't found anything. We're just kind of having church at home, watching golf. That's probably sacrilegious. Anything else there? Death, yes. Actually, you're just transferring your membership to the Church Triumphant, so... Okay. Can be, could be, you know.
Similar with doctrinal differences, that's a common excuse, if you will, but not always a reality.
Okay. So you can probably see where we're going if you read down through the... We want to kind of unpack all of these, or most of these, and also look at how do you leave a church well. Because many of us have been in that circumstance, you know, you've moved. For those who are our youth in attendance, you know, we assume that they're going to go to college. So now they're too far away if they go out of town. Or if they move for a job, you know, you're going to have to choose a church. So, you know, what does that mean? Because you would be, in essence, you know, breaking a covenant with this church. And how do you make that next covenant church? So, Mark, I think you're up.
All right.
I won't give you my wallet. That's probably not, it won't work. Nothing in there.
That's your credit card.
No, that's a gift card from Starbucks.
I'll take that. So, before we actually talk about how to leave a church well and some of the reasons, you guys did a great job here. There are more that I will discuss. I want to just talk over three different things that I think are important to this discussion. And one is, what is covenant? And another thing is, how do we define a church? And another thing is, what do we think about commitment? So I'm going to start out with giving you a definition of covenant. It comes from Wade Grudem's. It comes from Wade Grudem's Systematic Theology. He says, a biblical covenant is an unchangeable, divinely imposed legal agreement between God and man that stipulated the conditions of the relationship, their relationship. Granted, the covenant between man and man and man and his church is not always legally binding, but the point here is that covenants are not to be taken lightly. So what we signed and what you signed when you became members of this church should not be taken lightly. And I'm glad we're having these classes, and I think we should continue. Do you cannot hear me? Okay. Testing. Hello? Better? More better? Okay. Thank you, Glenn. So covenants are not to be taken lightly. The follow-up question that would be, where does covenant come from? And the covenant comes from, and why we do covenant, is because it was shown for us in Scripture. Covenant comes from Genesis. It comes from Adam and Eve. It comes from a bruised heel and a crushed head. It comes from God telling Abraham he will be the father of a great nation. It comes from the Ten Commandments and Mosaic Law. It comes from God telling David that his nation, his kingdom will last forever. And it comes from the New Covenant in the blood and body of Jesus Christ on the cross. It comes for Christ dying for us, the New Covenant. That's where covenant comes from. And because that's where covenant comes from, we need to take it seriously and not lightly. Secondly, I want to talk about the church a little bit. If we are leaving the church, okay, we need to know what we're leaving. What is the actual definition of a church? And from that, I went to John Piper and his four tenets to what a definition of what the church is. A church is a place where leaders minister the word of God fully and faithfully. Number two, a church is a place where leaders minister baptism and the Lord's Supper. Three, the church is a place where leaders exercise church discipline. That came up as we were discussing reasons. Now, Piper brings up a fourth one. It's a place where leaders love each other and their church community, and they seek to reach the lost. If the church that you're attending is doing all those things, then you have a faithful church, and you have a plumb line with which to grade other churches that you're attending. Thirdly, I want to talk about commitment a little bit. Tim Keller has a quote here. Everyone says they want community and friendship, but mention accountability and commitment to people, and they run the other way. They run the other way. Why do people renege? Why do people renege on their loyalty and commitment to institutions and relationships? Why is it easy for people to walk away from church and go to another one? Judy? They didn't take it seriously enough. What else?
Rationalization.
Go ahead and explain. Okay. Gordon?
I was going to say, I think because there are a lot of churches around, it's kind of like a church on every corner, and I think most churches are willing to welcome people with open arms without even asking why they left their former church.
So they're willing to compromise. It's easy to do. You're right. There's one in every corner, isn't there? Surely there's going to be a church that meets your needs. So what's that really referred to? There's this personal or spiritual narcissism that says it's all about me and who's serving me and not how I can serve the church and how I can serve Christ. Tom?
Which kind of leads into what I was going to say is there's no depth in the relationship. It tends to be surface. So you can get caught up, all of us can get caught up with, how was your day? Now, what did you do this weekend? Because we see each other on a Sunday. But what's the depth of the relationship? So therefore, when it starts to go poorly, like in a household or a family, are you willing, because of the commitment and the tightness, are you willing to make the effort to try and fix it? Or because it's shallow, there's not that much of a benefit anyway. It's not really, really important to me. It just makes me feel good, which is what you're alluding to. It's about me. Instead of what am I doing or the relationship, how is that, how deep is that? And then we tend to, whether it's a marriage or with your children, you tend to make more effort because the commitment for years has been deep.
But how about in the church, your relationship with the church?
in a relationship with the church is one anothering. But I would say also it's a leadership to the parishioner aspect. Are the leaders in the house? Are they going into the homes and getting to know the members in such a way that they're willing to share what's really going on in their life? Or is it, nice, I'll pray for you, is it surface? Okay, so the question is, then are them when there's an issue, are they willing to go to those leaders and say, hey, I got a problem, and I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to talk, I'm not willing to run off just because they have disciplinary action coming my way.
But also, there's the depth of relationship as well, which is true in the church as well. Are we doing the things that John shared earlier? Are we maintaining harmonious relationships? How deep are our relationships? Are we sharing the responsibility within the church? How deep is the responsibility we're taking? Are we serving in ministry to the church? What are we doing besides coming on Sunday morning? And will I support the promise, purposes of our church? Brenda. But at the same time, if we are willing to make the step of becoming a member and signing a covenant, okay, then we are also basically saying we want to be involved. Oops. We want to be involved. I almost hung myself. So depth of commitment, I think, is important. I think also another aspect of this is we value personal comfort over commitment. Whatever comes easiest, I think, takes precedent over the commitment that we've made. So accountability is, I think, the same way. So I think these things are important as we go into talking about the reasons for leaving a church and how to leave a church well. We need to know what we've covenanted to. We need to know what the definition of the church is, so we have a plumb line there to grade and to line up against. And we need to know what level of commitment we're willing to make as we sign the covenant we have. So let me give you some reasons. You gave quite a few here, had good discussion. Good reasons to leave a church. These aren't necessarily biblical reasons, but these are reasons that people leave a church that I think are good. The church has abandoned orthodoxy. In other words, they have removed themselves from the Word of God. They've removed themselves from biblical teaching. And what you hear more often from the pulpit is topical, which isn't wrong in and of itself, but if it happens on a regular basis, there's topical preaching on the culture, on politics, and on the social gospel. Know that these issues in and of themselves need to be brought up within the church. But if it's a recurrent, weekly, it's a focus of leadership to bring these type of things up on a regular basis, then I think we're steering away from biblical directive and we need to think about leaving. Another good reason is you cannot submit to leadership. And that has to do with the individual. That has to do with maybe a lack of respect for where the church is or for the leaders themselves or for the pastor. That has to do with strong personalities. And if you cannot submit to leadership of the church over time, then it's time for you to go and look elsewhere. If you live far away, you covered that one. Okay? Yeah.
Leaving the church, we need first to examine our own hearts.
We need to examine whether or not we are really open to submission. And that's so there are two pieces to that. One is where the leadership may lose its right to lead. And that may be a legitimate reason to lead the church. But before we leave for that reason, we need to examine our own hearts and ask ourselves, are we really willing to submit to anybody for any reason? And Steve mentioned the rationalization. I mean, that becomes such an easy answer. So examining our own hearts in all of these has to be the place where we start.
Exactly. It's a heart issue. It's a humility issue.
Yes.
Totally and completely. Have we looked at ourselves? Have we honestly looked at ourselves and how we've dealt with a certain issue that seems to be coming between us and doctrine or between us and the leadership in the church? Absolutely. Instead of saying, it's my way. Holding it with an open hand instead of a... Exactly. Another one, there are genuine theological disagreements. 10 years ago, we put together a committee to talk about women's as elders within the church. That committee was put together by session and met for 2 years. Recommendations were made. The session voted. You know what the decision was. But that caused real disagreement within the body. We had some people leave extremely well. I think of one couple that I call the poster couple for how it's done. We had some people who just left without saying anything. We had some people who didn't agree with the decision, but are still here, still stayed. So each of those are a different example of how to leave a church well and how to stay in a church well as well. Even though you might not agree with some of the decisions that are made. And that's, I think, talks to what Rick's saying. You know, to go through a process, not agree with the outcome, and still stay, I mean, that says a lot about that individual. Another one, leadership has lost integrity, is not held accountable. So there we're talking about things like financial sin. That came up. Sexual sin. Lack of humility. Arrogance in leadership. If those type of things show up and they're rampant, then it's time to look for another church. Church vision and mission are drifting from biblical moorings, and it doesn't look like they're coming back to shore. That's another reason. This is one that didn't come up, but planning a church, that's a good reason for leaving, isn't it? You've taken part of your body, and you've moved it to another location, and you're planning another church. That's a good reason for leaving a church. And here's the last one is peace in the church is in jeopardy due to your presence. I thought that was interesting, but that talks about strong personalities, doesn't it? And strong personalities on doctrinal issues can cause allegiances, and allegiances can usually cause division, and that is a reason for leaving a church. Usually the person who is that's happening to doesn't recognize it themselves, right? That they're a source of the problem. So they need help from leadership to be able to see that. So here's some questionable reasons for leaving the church. You should not leave angry over unresolved conflict. That's the number one reason people leave church. Unresolved conflict. It's what I want, once again. The conflict can be reason to leave, but only after reconciliation has been attempted. What should you do first? You know, James 4:1 talks about quarrels and fights, and where do they come from? What? Desires and passions within you. You have monster desires, and those monster desires take over. And then Matthew 18, what does it do? It tells us exactly how to deal with that, right? Go to your brother. If that doesn't work, bring one or two of the elders with you. If that doesn't work, go to the church. that doesn't work, well, if you read the rest of that, it says you need to treat him as a unbeliever. So, secondly, you should not leave the latest, and John hit on this, buzz, it thing, right? You shouldn't leave. We are all kind of drawn to the bright, shiny objects in our midst, aren't we? The next best preaching, the next best source of entertainment. That is not a reason. That's a questionable reason for leaving the church. I know it happens a lot. It happens a lot with our young people. But that is not a reason to leave the church. You should not leave because, and John hit on this too, and you guys hit on this, for a better youth group. Your kids should not be in charge of where you worship. The pulpit and its preaching and teaching should be what draws you and what directs you and brings you in to a church. It's not a charismatic youth leader. And, you know, I'll say this too, and for our high school grads and for our college, you know, I don't think a good reason is because there's nobody here. There's not enough people here that are your age. I think youth has a lot to offer a church. And to leave just to go to another church because they have more people that are your age, for me, that's a struggle. That's a struggle. And I think the church, a lot of churches have been hurt by that. We've lost a certain demographic within our body that can really, what? Enhance our church. Really enhance our church. So. And John hit on this too, or I don't know if Michael, actually Michael touched on this. You should not leave because your needs aren't being met. You don't feel like you're being fed. There's no place for you to use your gifts. Someone hurts your feelings. The church is changing. Well, all churches change, right? And this is what I was referring to earlier as spiritual narcissism, where the church, you know, is about what it has to offer to you. And you are the focus instead of the body being the focus, the person of Jesus Christ, the cross being the focus. So, and the last one you also hit on, too many hymns, not enough hymns. Too many praise songs, not enough praise songs. You follow the pulpit, you don't follow the music ministry. Those are all questionable reasons for leaving a church. So, biblical reasons for leaving the church. Now, the Bible does not speak about leaving a church. Why would that be? There was no alternative, right? In order to leave a church, you'd have to go from one city to another, right? You'd go from Corinth to Ephesus. Well, that's not going to happen because there was only one church in a certain city. You know, Paul never wrote about it, or the New Testament writers didn't mention it. But there are guidelines that you can use. There are guidelines that you can use to determine biblically if you should leave a church. First one is Galatians. I have, Richard, time to read. You ready? Galatians 1, 6 through 9.
You walk in here with your donut, your coffee, you says you got your Bible with you.
Yeah.
Good.
Share with us, brother.
No other gospel. Galatians 1, chapter 6 through 9. Louder. Trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ.
So, leave if heresy is being taught from the pulpit, or I put denomination. Heresy is not error. It is abandoning the accepted teaching on essential doctrine. It's to preach another gospel. If you sense that there's heresy, and you know that there's heresy coming from the pulpit in any way, then you need to leave according to Galatians. Number two, if leaders tolerate errant doctrine from those who are teaching in authority. Kurt, you got Romans 16, 17, and 18.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, by their good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple.
So if the church allows teachers with opposing doctrines in the classroom, it's time to move on. But that takes the discernment, right? Discernment from leadership to know who to allow to teach and who not to allow to teach. Now, there are those who stay in a body who have different ideas on different non-essential issues in Scripture. All right? But leadership needs to have determination whether to let those type of people teach. And if it flies in the face of what's coming from the pulpit, then that person should not be allowed to teach. Teachers have to align with leadership, or else you will have division and will have chaos. Number three, wanton disregard for Scripture, such as refusal to discipline blatant sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 7 talks about sexual sin. And if leaders turn a blind eye to overt sin or are involved themselves in overt sin, then in this case it was sexual sin, then it's something you should recognize and you should consider leaving that church. Unholy living is tolerated in the church. Paul, you got 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11. So we are all sinners. We are, in some ways, we are kind of like this person. But what are we? We are repentant. Okay? If we recognize sin in our lives, we repent, and we are given forgiveness for that. I think what Paul's talking about here is unrepentant sin. That should not be allowed to be in the church. If that's recognized, or if that's part of the body that you're in, and it's not being addressed, then you need to think about leaving. Gross hypocrisy. Who's got, let's see, Matthew, it's Chris. Matthew 23, 1 through 3. The whole chapter actually talks about this.
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. They practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach but do not practice.
Whoa, ye scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites. Failure to practice what you preach. There's a gap between personal, public persona and private character. Theatrical religion. It's an abomination to God and it's a blasphemy. And the Pharisees were Jesus' poster child for that. And finally, biblically, Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. If missions in the church is mission is missing, then it's time to look for another church. So let's talk now about leaving a church well. So when you decide to leave a church, how do you do it well? Have you, as Rick was saying, have you checked your heart? Have you talked it through? Have you prayed it through? Have you given it time? If you've done all those things, then how do you actually walk away from a church? All too often, what happens?
Fade out.
Fade out. Just leave. Nobody's going to notice. That's not the way to leave a church. But that's all too often the way we see people leave the church. So, first of all, and these aren't any particular order, give thanks for evidences of grace you experience. What does that mean? Give thanks for evidences of grace that you've experienced. What's it mean?
Give thanks for evidences of grace you've received.
Ben.
It can't be all 100% terrible.
Thank you.
So there's got to be positive things the Lord has done in your life, the church has been an instrument of, and there's people there that have been a positive influence on your life by the Lord's grace there.
Tell someone. If you're going to leave, tell someone, you know what, I'm leaving because of X, Y, and Z, but I want you to know that this body is a huge part of who I am because the 1 year, 4 years, 5 years, 20 years I've been here, and this is how it's happened. Encourage the church. No sour grapes. Encourage the church. Lift it up. It's been good to you, hasn't it? The body's been good. Secondly, if there is conflict, attempt to be part of the solution, not the problem. Attempt to be part of the solution, not the problem. You may ultimately still leave, but at least you were part of trying to resolve the issue. You were part of trying to resolve the issue. Okay? That's key. Don't be the firebrand. Don't be the negative person. Try to be part of the solution as you go through. And this couple I was talking about earlier, that through the women as elders issue, they did this so well. They did this so well. Number three, reconcile relationships before leaving. Pursue peace. Our very own John Schindeldecker wrote a great book called Peace Pursuit. That would help wonderfully with this. Pursue, bring shalom, leave on good terms. If there's a broken relationship, go to that brother and reconcile that relationship. If that's the issue that is driving you away. Number four, speak to your pastor and elders. This is something I think that doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen very often either when people leave a church. You never know if you talk to your pastors, your elders, there's a lot of sides to an issue, isn't there not? And if you hear all the sides to the issue, you may decide to stay. But if you're just focused on the way you see it, your tunnel vision by it, then you're not seeing the whole picture. So talk to your elders, talk to your pastor if you have issues before you leave. Don't speak gossip as you leave. Speaking negatively reflects on you and hurts the body. Don't talk negatively about the church that you've left. You can talk about why you left, but at the same time, share evidences of grace. Show how that church has built you up and made you who you are today. Even though there was a doctrinal issue or something like that that has caused you to leave that church. Find a good church to go to. Not going to church is not an option. Not going to church is not an option. Okay? If you leave a church and don't go somewhere, then that's an issue, a heart issue that you need to deal with. And finally, is the problem you? And I think that came up. Is the problem you? Be honest about your motives and your failings. Be honest. And you know what? When it really comes down to it, it's probably you. You're part of the issue. You're part of the issue. Your heart is divided. Your heart is not where it should be. I want to finish. I want to read something, a letter. I'll just finish this. It's called God's Authority, the Church, and Children of Divorce. It's written by somebody who left the church and left it wrongly, but then repented of that. And it's eloquent, it's heartfelt, it's vulnerable. And because of that, I want to read this, and then that'll be the end. I will suggest to you that under most circumstances, how one leaves a church community is more important than why. In fact, the how will most often address the why. I would like to use myself as an example. About 9 years ago, I left my previous church wrongly. I decided that I wasn't being fed at the Sunday morning service, and so I had taken to sitting in the church library and reading during the service. We would drop off for our kids at Sunday school, and we would sit, frustrated. One Sunday, I recalled vividly, I proclaimed that this was absurd, which it was. We couldn't proceed like this, and we couldn't, so we decided to leave. Two Sundays later, we were attending a new church. Prior to our departure, I never talked to my pastor. I never spoke with an elder. I didn't talk to anyone but my parents, who I informed and not consulted, and friends we were leaving with. I had been at that church, a Christ faith church, my entire life. I was baptized there. I had taken membership vows there. I was shown and taught Jesus there, and then without a word, I abandoned it. I thought little more of the matter, though I was in my 30s. I had acted like an adolescent. I knew better what I wanted and needed than anyone else. Some years later, I was teaching a church class on Cyprian of Carthage and church schism. By this point in time, God had grown my understanding of the purposes and magnificence of his albeit spotted bride, the church. I realized I should have never left in the first place. Leaving a church body is not always wrong. The manner in which I left my previous church told me that my reasons were insufficient. I abandoned my membership vows. I was unfaithful. I walked away from the church community that God had ordained to shepherd me. I took it upon myself to be my own shepherd. I contacted my former pastor and apologized. He graciously accepted my apology and offered me forgiveness. The same Cyprian who God used to draw my awareness to my sin once wrote, "You cannot have God as your father without the church as your mother." Similar sentiments have echoed through the years in the pen of St. Augustine, Gregory the Great, and even John Calvin in our own church tradition. Fast forwarding a few years finds me sitting before you, an ordained elder, now an agent of a very church authority that I disregarded in the past. I have adolescent children of my own. There is much of an attitude of know-it-all, self-righteous adolescence that runs in the church. I know because it runs right through my heart. I need to be shepherded as well as be a shepherd. God is our Father. No one questions this in his beneficence. He has appointed us a mother as well. But this we will wrongly and to our destruction contest. We as children were designed for a mom and a dad. Though there is an infinite degree of difference between our spiritual Father God and Mother the Church that defies our human analogy, we as children are all still rightly in the care and custody of both parents. This is our advantage and is a loving gift of God in Christ. Children of divorce often have issues of trust. They frequently go on to divorce themselves and perpetuate a destructive cycle. I urge you to break the cycle. It is the situation. If the situation warrants, be reconciled to your previous church. Be careful about how you speak of your previous church body. The world is listening. Should you join a new church and in the future find yourself frustrated, hurt, or offended, don't walk away. Talk to your pastor. Talk to your elders. Talk to your friends. Experience the love of Jesus in the consolation and guidance of his body, the church. The authority of the church is not hers by right. She does not deserve it, but it is her responsibility. And properly executed, it is God's good gift to you. So I end with that. I end in prayer, and I say go in peace. Let me pray for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for ECC. Lord, I thank you that ECC faithfully emulates the marks of a church. It is faithful. It is good. Lord, help us to go into worship today, to recognize the cross, to recognize your love for us. Lord, help us to be discerning about our church. Help us to be involved. Help us to take covenant seriously because it is a serious issue with you. Thank you for our relationship with this body, and thank you for our relationship with you overall. You are good and great and greatly to be praised. We pray this in thy name. And all God's people said?
Amen.
All right, go in peace.